It's been over 5 years since the legalized marijuana market launched in Colorado. And today, we're going to bring you a series of reports on what this has meant for the industry in our state.
Here to start us off with a look at where the market is and where it's going is Ken Amundson, the managing editor for Biz West. Ken, welcome back to Colorado Edition.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, 5 years after legalization, where do things stand for the marijuana industry?
There's been substantial growth in that industry from various sectors. It has kind of changed how Americans and Coloradans in particular perceive that industry. Just the acceptance is overwhelming.
So let's talk a little bit about sales and usage. What do we know as far as numbers go?
Of course, it's a very regulated industry, so everybody has to have a license to operate. And there are 41,000 people have applied to work in the industry. You have to be licensed to work in the industry.
That's a large sector.
Very much so. There are 3,000 business licenses in Colorado. And that would include dispensaries and grow operations and processing plants and all that sort of thing. And that particular part seems to be growing at about 14% a year, and they're projecting that it'll grow about 14% a year for the next 6 years.
What products are selling the most?
Cannabis that can be smoked is still the most popular, probably, but the edibles are gaining on that, and gummy bears are the most popular edible.
Remind us again of, in terms of tax revenue, how much the state has gotten from this industry and where that tax revenue is going.
$1 billion has been raised since 2014, and $266 million annually is what the state tax revenue is. It looks like a big number, but that's really a drop in the bucket when it's compared to the state budget. State budget is $32 billion. But to, you know, line that out, there are three different areas where the state derives tax revenue. One would be a 15% excise tax, and most of that money, in fact, all of that money goes to schools, most of it to capital construction, and then some of it to operations for schools. And then there's a 15% special sales tax on retail marijuana. This does not apply to the medical marijuana, just recreational retail marijuana. And 90% of that goes to the state government, 10% goes to local governments. And of the state's 90% share, about 12% of that goes to schools, 15% goes into the general fund, and 71% goes into the so-called marijuana tax cash fund. And then, of course, the standard sales tax, 2.9%, that's also charged. And all of that money goes into the marijuana tax cash fund. And that's used for health care, used for substance abuse, health education.
Okay. Awareness, you know, those campaigns.
Yeah, those sorts of things, yeah.
And what are the projections going forward for the industry?
Well, as I mentioned, I think there's anticipated a 14% growth in sales of marijuana over the next 6 years, 14% each year for the next 6 years. That projection does not anticipate the addition of other states legalizing marijuana, nor does it anticipate any change in what happens after the 2020 elections. If there's a change at the federal level that would, you know, make things less difficult for businesses, perhaps that would grow even more.
Ken Amundson is the managing editor of Biz West. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And even though the legal marijuana market in the state has been operating for 5 years, that doesn't mean that the illegal market has gone away.
KUNC's Esther Honig has been reporting on the marijuana black market in the state and joins us now. Esther, welcome back to Colorado Edition.
Thanks for having me.
Despite marijuana being legal, there is still a black market. Can you explain why?
So there's still a black market, and in the most simplest terms, it's there because marijuana is still illegal federally. So there are many states where it is still heavily restricted, and there's a market there for illegal marijuana. So I can grow marijuana in Colorado. I can ship it or, you know, get someone to transport it for me across several states, and then it's going to sell for 3 to 4 times the value that it would in Colorado. There's just so much money to be made that it's an easy, you know, opportunity for any entrepreneur, so to speak, who's willing to take that risk.
What do we know about how big the black market really is?
Well, what's really interesting about any sort of illegal industry, honestly, is that you're really only going to know how big it is depending on the resources that you can dedicate to tracking it down. I spoke to George Brockler. He's the district attorney with the 18th Judicial District. So that's in Denver. He gets most of these cases in his district. So they track down a lot of illegal marijuana operators in their area. They have more cases than any other district, but he admits it's also because they have more funding to go after it compared to a rural county? And this is what he said.
We have a thriving black market here in the 18th Judicial District, but not just here. My guess is all over the state.
And so I've talked to folks in other parts of the state, more rural areas where law enforcement is limited. And, you know, they might see it happening. It might take them months to be able to collect the information so that they can get a warrant to search the house, to take down that operation. It's a lot of manpower. It's a lot of resources. Not a lot of them have.
How do people in this legal market here in the state feel about those operating illegally? Surely that's seen as competition.
Yeah, it's absolutely competition. I spoke to Scott Brady. He manages Smokey's 420, and that's a marijuana grow and dispensary in Weld County. He sees the illegal operations. He called it a black eye on their industry because these folks operate with no oversight. We don't know what they're using to grow the plants, whether it's a toxic pesticide, and that has been a problem in the past. You know, they don't care about their customers' health or satisfaction. And so he feels that really his operation kind of gets lumped in with the illegal operations and sort of the public perspective on marijuana. And this is what he told me.
Each time somebody in the black market sells a gram, they're taking it right out of my people's pockets at the end of the day.
I'm wondering what it might mean for the illegal market here in Colorado if we were to see marijuana become legalized federally.
I think it means one of two things. Well, first, within our legal market, we've already seen a little bit of slowdown in terms of growth. And that has a lot to do with other states becoming legalized and their markets are taking off and people are no longer having to, say, travel to Colorado to take part in that weed tourism. But when it comes to the black market, everyone I've spoken to, from George Brockler, who's, again, the district attorney, to black market marijuana dealers and growers, they're all in agreement, even Scott Brady, that the solution is federal legalization. If you legalize this federally, you take away the market, you take away that economic incentive to ship this stuff across the country to Mississippi and sell it for 3 to 4 times the price. And well, you won't necessarily eradicate it entirely. You'll replace the majority of it. You'll really do away with how robust and efficient the market is operating currently.
Esther Honig is a reporter for KUNC. Esther, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
But even though marijuana is legal in our state, as Esther reminded us, it's still illegal federally, a fact that poses issues for parts of the market.
Now, here to tell us more is Dan Mica, a reporter for BizWest. Dan, welcome back to Colorado Edition.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start by talking about new legislation that passed in the House of Representatives last week, and that's the Safe Banking Act. What is this and why is it needed?
Yeah, so the Safe Banking Act has two different major provisions. The first one would allow companies that deal in marijuana, whether they're grow houses, whether they're dispensaries, to be able to deposit and use the same kind of checking and banking accounts that normal businesses can do. At the moment, most dispensaries and most grow houses have to either deal in all cash, which means sometimes having to carry out their sales taxes and depositing that in cash. I know that some dispensaries use a cryptocurrency wallet to be able to take credit card transactions. And there are some specialty banks that will take marijuana business accounts but charge very high service fees and whatnot, because the main issue that they are worried about is that the federal government will look at them taking money from a substance that's federally legal and bringing it into the federal banking system. The feds kind of view that as money laundering, so to speak. So this bill would allow banks to kind of deal with marijuana companies without fear of reprisal. And the second part of that is that it would also create a safe harbor for businesses that work with marijuana companies. So this can be anything from allowing landlords to be able to rent buildings and office space to dispensaries or grow houses, to electricians and contractors to do just basic repairs. Right now, they kind of face the same problem.
This bill passed only in the House. What is next for it?
Right. So it passed with a fair amount of bipartisan support in the House. All but one House Democrat voted in favor of it, and about 47% of House Republicans voted in favor of it. So now a majority, but it shows that there's, you know, at least a bit of a turning tide in the House. Now it goes over to the Senate, where it'll be co-sponsored partially by Cory Gardner of Colorado. I see it having a bit of a tougher time getting through the Senate, as right now they're still working towards other big issues like trade. They might have to deal with the ongoing presidential impeachment inquiry at some point. And Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, even though last year he spearheaded the efforts to legalize hemp, he has shown really no support at all for legalizing marijuana. So even though we have a growing number of states nationwide, starting with Colorado, but including a lot of big populated states like Washington State, like California, like Illinois, really starting to take on medical and recreational marijuana, there still may be some resistance to it when it gets into the Senate.
What would this mean for marijuana businesses in Colorado and I guess in other states where it's legal too if this passes?
So it would add another layer of credibility, so to speak. It would treat marijuana businesses like it would liquor stores to a certain extent. They would be able to have greater access to the financial system, which means it would allow more people to start a dispensary or start a grow house or start another marijuana-related business without having so much cash up front. So I think if it does pass and it does get to President Trump's desk and he signs into law, we're going to see a lot more small and independent dispensaries come out, a lot more people who don't have the private backing to go out. They're going to go out and try and stake a little claim of this little green rush we're seeing.
Dan Mica is a reporter for BizWest. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.